This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us now is Francois Cotel, owner of West Bank Fishing out of Empire, Louisiana. The commercial menhaden season opened April the 15th, and he joins us to talk about some of the compromises that they've reached with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. Francois, welcome to the show.
Hi, Newell. Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about it. Obviously, the beginning of the season is April 15th. I think there were some compromises reached as to what areas are going to be allowed to be fished. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, Noel, the buffer zone which we operate in, which was established 2 years ago, was increased from a quarter of a mile to half a mile off the inside-outside shrimp line. So the inside-outside shrimp line runs from coast to coast, from Texas to Mississippi, and we now have to stay half a mile off that buffer zone, off that shrimp line. And there's been a buffer zone created of around 1 mile down by Holly Beach area. And the buffer zones around Grand Isle have been maintained as they were in previous years.
Obviously, there was a lot of push-pull, tug-of-war friction as to that issue and whether or not what the financial impact or economic impact was going to be to your industry. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not looking to create animosity with anyone, and obviously, you know, there was a challenge which essentially was a sort of user conflict in certain areas between us and recreational and charter boats. And it's hoped that this buffer zone alleviates that. It obviously comes at a cost to us. Our boats fish where the fish are, the fish that we target in, which is menhaden. And so the establishment of those buffer zones has taken approximately 10% of the catches away on an annualized basis. And so we're going to do what we can to see how we can alleviate that, obviously. But it is, you know, it will have a financial burden on us. And hopefully it has a desired effect at relieving some of the user conflict issues.
One of those issues is what's referred to as bycatch, right? The catching of other species of fish while fishing for menhaden. Do I understand this correctly that there's going to be a bycatch study that will be conducted over the course of the 2024 commercial season?
Yes, that's correct. So it's the study is already underway. In order to sort of be scientifically valid, it has to progress during the entirety of a season, and our season started on Monday. The scientists are at sea already, and they'll be observing, be on boats observing the entire width of the Gulf fishery on all the boats, and we'll be quantifying the bycatch of the boats. This has been done before a number of times, So this is a new one. It's been funded by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, or it was the funds for this were appropriated just over a year ago, and it's been managed independently with independent observers to make sure that the results are as robust as possible.
Francois, what do you say to detractors that look to our neighboring states that have a lot more restrictive zones relative to menhaden fish in it than we have here in Louisiana?
Yeah, I think you've got to see that Louisiana is not the same as neighboring states for numerous reasons. Number one is the vast majority of the menhaden that occur in the Gulf sit on the coast of Louisiana. They get fed by nutrients that come down primarily from the Mississippi River. And so the huge concentration of menhaden is in the Louisiana coast. That's the first and most noticeable difference, I suppose, than other states. And the second is the topography of the coastline, where other coastlines, Texas, Mississippi, have what I would refer to as a hard stop coastline. They don't have these extended marshes, et cetera, that we have in Louisiana. And our ruling line sort of runs down these sort of external islands of Louisiana, and there's vast expanses of water inside those, which are unfortunately are ever increasing, and that's where a lot of the fish resides. We can't fish those; haven't been able to fish those for years, and I'm certainly not seeking to fish those. But that's a big difference between us and say the Texas coastline, or even the far west of the Louisiana coastline. Is you don't have these extended marshes that the fish go that both targets fish like menhaden and bycatch that they sort of reside in.
Yeah, I was going to say that the same conditions and that you just articulated hold true for bycatch as well as to why they're there, right?
Correct. And so, you do get, a large part of the resource bycatch and menhaden sit inside Barataria Bay, these places that they are naturally protected from us there.
What percentage of the gross that's harvested every year actually comes from Louisiana as opposed to other Gulf states?
I would say probably, I don't have the exact numbers because we only harvest in Louisiana and land in Louisiana. We don't fish other areas. But the other company that does it, I suspect, probably gets around 10% of their harvest from other areas.
So we would be providing the vast majority of the menhaden harvest every year then?
Yes, yeah, certainly the vast majority of the menhaden harvest is made off Louisiana. I suppose one has to put it in context to the size of the resource that exists off Louisiana. The menhaden industry is harvesting around 2% of the biomass, the estimated biomass on an annualized basis. It's an extremely low level of harvest relative to the biomass by any standards, international standards, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, the large portion of the resource is harvested off the Louisiana coast, but the vast majority of the biomass sits off the Louisiana coast.
Is there an opportunity for the utilization of technology, an alternative way of catching menhaden? And I don't mean this in a negative connotation, but it's kind of a lot of the way that we fish certain species is done in a very indiscriminate way. And I know for a long time we had the TEDs that came about with the turtle extrusion devices, and is there research going on as it relates to maybe a better way to fish this species?
Well, I think that's one of the things I have to correct is the perception that purse seining, which is the way that we catch menhaden, is a wasteful or has a high level of bycatch is an incorrect perception. It's actually one of the cleaner ways of catching fish. The total bycatch that we get is somewhere between 1 to 2% of our landings are bycatch species, which relative to other fishing activities is very low. And so we continue to do what we can to reduce our bycatch. We've put voluntary excluders on the boat so that we do essentially the same thing as people do when they do a catch and release program. We try and exclude out some of the bigger fish that then gets returned to the water as quickly as possible. And as with in the recreational things, some of that fish lives, some of it doesn't live. But all of it has been accounted for in the past bycatch studies. And as I say, those numbers indicate that our level of bycatch is very, very low. But we continue to look for ways, and we're not scared of employing capital to try new technology to improve what we're doing. We're not blind to the fact that as an industry, we have to continue to innovate to improve what we're doing. But the perception that we are an indiscriminate high bycatch user, certainly relative to other fisheries that operate here in the Gulf, we are not.
Well, I was ignorant of the fact. I wasn't trying to make an allegation. I was just curious. You know, I think what folks want to see is always a desire to try and improve, whether or not that's a 2% bycatch. It's, you know, from the perspective of the other side, 1% would be, as they say in the Ninth Ward, more better. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, and I think that's just kind of the underlying friction that exists out there, especially in light of daily limits being minimized for sport fishermen. And the justification for same is that they're saying that a number of these species are overfished, you know, so it's kind of like, well, let's look at this from an all industries perspective, whether that be recreational, commercial, or otherwise, as to what we're all willing to contribute as it relates to these species numbers and trying to improve same. Would you agree or disagree?
No, absolutely. You know, we certainly, to use your phrase, we've made a commitment, and we will continue to put capital and effort into being more better. There's always room for technology and improvement. But I do think that what we do needs to be contextualized. When, you know, this industry has been around since before the Second World War. It reached a peak in the mid-80s, and most people don't know this, that Louisiana Cameron was the biggest fishing harbor in the entire North America at that time. At that time, they were landing over 1 million tons a year of pogies. There were close to 90 boats operating up and down the coast and somewhere around 11 factories up and down the coast. That was in the mid-80s. Now you have around 25 boats operating, less than a third. You've got three factories operating less than a third, and they're catching under half of the amount of fish that was caught in the mid-80s. And so you're having a lot less sets, et cetera. The point that I'm trying to make is, on aggregate, our bycatch footprint, just by the amount of fish we're catching, et cetera, has gone down since the 80s and continues to decline. But we are not... We're not saying, look, we can't be part of a solution here. Certainly, we would look at our technology and everything like that to improve that, to help limit our footprint on bycatch. Part of the study is we are going to see how effective the current excluding devices and everything that we have put on the boats, which are voluntary, how effective they are and whether or not we can make them more effective. You know, if we can improve the survival rate of, for example, red drum when it is returned to the water, we will do that. But relative, our footprint is quite low of the red drum. The numbers indicate that our footprint of red drum, for example, that is caught is quite low, and certainly speckled trout is extremely low. And you know, we will continue to do what we can to reduce our footprint. So one of the things I've done recently is I've contributed to a red drum restocking program that is just getting off the ground here. I believe it's just been signed off by the new administration's wildlife and fisheries, and congratulations to them for doing so. And so I've given them some seed capital, and I've indicated that I'd be very supportive of continuing to support that, because I think if, you know, we will continue to try and avoid bycatch and minimize our bycatch as much as possible. But there's a point that we can't, and as I say, I'm more than happy to look at some way in which we could, almost like a carbon offset, try and put some of that bycatch that we do catch back in the water and offset it.
Right. Create a, excuse me, a fisheries program for sure. Let me ask you, you talk about the reduction since the 80s and alike in both the size of the fleet and the size of the catch. Why is that? Why are the numbers diminishing?
So it's purely economic. You know, unfortunately, the product we make, which is fish meal and fish oil, while valuable commodities from a supply chain point of view, are just like the oil industry, are governed by international commodity prices. Where fish meal that's produced here has to compete with fish meal that's produced in Peru and fish meal that's produced in the coast of Africa. And so we as an industry are price takers, not price setters. And the economics have gone against the industry. And unfortunately, you've seen a lot of businesses go under, consolidation of the businesses to create economies of scale, and factories close, boats get shut down, and thousands of people have lost their jobs in the state of Louisiana over the last 3 or 4 decades, purely because of economics. The resource itself, and I don't think anyone would dispute this statement, the resource itself is healthier now than it has been in a number of decades and continues to grow. It's the one resource in the Louisiana coastline that continues to show fairly robust health and growth, and certainly is not by any signs that I've seen showing any signs of being overfished or under any sort of strain. So it's purely been economics, and that's why when areas of fishing are taken away from us, that challenges our economics. And you know, based on history, you can only challenge our economics so much before we in turn will fall over.
What about demand for the product itself, the byproduct, the fish meal, the fish oil? Is that still relatively stable, or is that demand diminishing as well?
No, that demand is stable, and to be quite honest, in certain areas is growing. Certainly, you've seen a lot more inclusion of fish meal, et cetera, into pet food and aquaculture feed. But certainly here in the U.S., it mainly goes to feed into the pet food industry, et cetera. And people have realized that omega-3s, which everyone was taking omega-3 capsules, and mm-hmm. it works wonders for the human body, also does great things for pets. And so you've seen the inclusion of fish meal and fish oil into a number of pet food diets, et cetera, et cetera. So demand is fairly strong or has remained static, but it's the economics that gets challenged. You know, Peru, for example, is 10 times the size of a fish meal producer than the Gulf is. And so, you know, when they decide to put product on the market, they can move the price overnight. And that's what we've got to be able to accommodate in our economics.
Right. Francois, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad that we were able to pull this together because I had promised our listeners that we would get both sides of this issue. I would like to get you back once the bycatch study is published. That's conducted in 2024 for sure, to get your side of what you think the results there reveal as well. Best of luck to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Noel, thank you for having me. And anytime you want to come learn about our operation, give me a call. I'd love to take you through it. So thanks for the time and thanks to your listeners.
Thank you, sir. Francois Cattell, owner of West Bank Fishing. They operate out of Empire, Louisiana. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.